I'm Phil Pringle, and welcome to the C3 Church Global Podcast. Thanks for joining us today from wherever you are in the world. C3 Church Global is a family of almost 600 churches around the world, and this podcast is all about equipping pastors and leaders to lead healthy, growing, and multiplying churches. We are Christ-centered, Spirit-powered, and Connect-driven. Every week on this podcast, you will find new and uplifting content to strengthen you, equip you, and help you lead others into a relationship with Christ. You'll find a mix of devotionals that build your faith and your relationship with Christ, as well as rich and empowering conversations with leaders and friends in ministry from around the world. We also bring inspiring testimonies and updates from our pastors and churches throughout the C3 movement on the 64 nations that we're present in. Here's this week's podcast. Hey everyone, welcome to the C3 Church Global Podcast, talking all things church and leadership. Today, I'm in Jakarta, Indonesia, and with my very good friend and the director of the region, Joshua Winata.
Yes, thank you so much, Pastor Phil.
So good to have you here, Joshua.
Thank you, and welcome to Jakarta.
And we also have the distinct pleasure of talking with one of our great churches in the movement called The Collective, which is run by Alex and Janae Evans. Great to have you guys.
Yeah,
we love being here. It's so good to be here.
We just love hanging out.
It's good to have you in town.
Yeah, amen.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Yeah. Well, we're talking about all things Indonesia right now, and what a great country. I think it might be the largest Muslim country in the world.
Yes, it is.
And yet, Christianity is thriving.
Yeah.
Yes.
And tell us, because I know we've got a pastor's week this week, and you said there's quite a number of churches, pastors attending who are considering maybe they become part of C3.
Yes. We have about 70 pastors coming.
Right.
C3 pastor, as well as 10 pastors from outside of movement are looking into us.
Right.
Because they like about us.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this fascinates me because you, I know, joined C3, 20 years ago?
30? Yeah. About 18 years ago.
18 years ago. Yeah. Give us what you saw about our movement that made you want to join.
The first thing that I really appreciate, me and Sanita, my wife, appreciated is the authenticity.
Right.
That you are being original and you are very approachable. I remember first time we came to Present Conference, we were taken by Jake Bethlehem. Back then he was in charge of Southeast Asia. And right away, Jake brought us to all the top leaders there in movement, as well as introducing us to you. And it's such an easy way. You don't have many bodyguards or, you know, like...
I don't have any bodyguards.
He's like, where are my bodyguards?
At that time, like, you were very approachable, and we love the sense of big hug from Pastor Kristen Pringle, you know, the authenticity. Hug us, like, we are not used with this kind of hugging things, you know, and smiles. And we thought, you know, we need to have some distance. But they're like, wow, like this leader and you, Pastor Phil, really display authenticity and also transparency and always smile.
Right. Would you call that relational?
Yes, I can say that. We are craving for relational things.
Yeah.
People everywhere in the world, also in Indonesia, that we are craving for a sense of belonging, acceptance without being proving anything, and we just being accepted the way and who we are as a family. And
well, that's amazing because you know, I mean, over those 18 years you've been part of our movement, you've proven so many times your faithfulness, and you're a great servant of God. You're a man of God yourself, and your beautiful wife, Sunita. And you're always being so positive, so encouraging. Mm. And I mean, we're somewhat different culturally to what the traditional Indonesian spirit-filled church would be like. Mm-hmm. And I know that certainly you guys are very different to I've been in a number of traditional Pentecostal Indonesian churches, and you are way different to that whole thing. And so, and yet you're booming. And have you found that there's resistance to your style of doing church?
Resistance. Not as much as maybe you would think.
Yeah, now.
I think sometimes because we're an international church, we can kind of get away with being a little bit different because they just kind of are like, oh, that's just that crazy, you know, American white pastor over there that's just, you know, doing, you know, who knows what he's, you know. So I think that's kind of been on our side a little bit, a little giving us a little more grace. Like culturally, we don't get a lot of drag.
You have a lot of young people in your church too.
Yeah, we do. Yeah.
Yeah, I think like maybe at the start, first coming over and the church was 2.5 years old. We came over as the kids pastors. I think maybe then it was very certain things, trying certain things. Everyone was like, you can't do that. No, that won't work. No, that. But I think as we just, I guess, did the due diligence and just waited on like God to give us the creativity, the ideas, the vision, and then stepping out little by little.
Yeah.
Because I feel like when he guides it, you know what I mean? Yes, there still may be resistance, but I think people started to see, oh, well, maybe it could be like this, you know? Or maybe we could do something a little different. Not saying anything bad about how it's done other places, but thinking outside of the box is okay too. God is so huge, yeah?
Well, yeah, I think the Lord always keeps moving on to make the church relevant to its current world context. Yeah. And you can't stay in an out-of-date context and try to reach today's world. I know when we had our church in Sydney, it was like a phenomenon. It was like something that had never been done before. We had church in a warehouse.
Yeah.
And we had tons of parking. And then we had very modern decor. And we got really positive reports from journalists in those days. They said, oh, these guys all speak in tongues and they sing songs to God like they really mean it. And it's very enthusiastic. And they got these 7 pink curtains behind them. They were into, you know, when it was in fashion.
Yeah, exactly.
When it was kind of cool. And they were very, I don't know if it was amused or bemused by the whole thing. And I think that we've got to keep ourselves moving forward and not get stuck culturally in the past. So one of the things, though, that is more difficult than culture and personality to make adjustments to is what I'd call infrastructure, like the behind-the-scenes church, the government, the way things are done.
Mm. Yeah.
And I know when you became the regional director, it was a bit interesting because the way we would structure things, like we would base things on, is a person anointed? Are they the right fit for the job? But you might find that some of your discovery in the past has been family connections dictate those sort of decisions. So tell us how you handled that, Joshua. Yeah.
Yes. I think, as you mentioned, we are not too quick in appointing leaders. And we need to check the cohesiveness, the chemistry, and how we face difficulties. So I think that's one of the very valuable lessons. Not necessarily the person that is knowledgeable in the Bible can be easy in getting along.
Yeah.
So I think I learned from that times how we need to be prudent and careful in appointing people based on the anointing. Based on the working as a team. Yeah, because that person can be anointed, can be knowledgeable, but not necessarily can be working as a team. I think let alone he'll be great in doing those great things. But working as a team required humbleness, required, you know, honoring one another and know their space.
Yeah.
And also in making things work out, making the bigger common vision more important than personal ego.
Yeah.
No, it's a really big question, guys, because in a number of circumstances and nations around the world, when foreign ministers have come into the scene, like as an evangelist or as an apostle, prophet, It's like the locals think that's the man of God who's come to minister to us to get us healed. And so the idea of team hasn't been even begun in their thinking. It's just like the man of God complex. And often that has prevented churches from growing or even getting off the ground, because the only image that the minister has is that one. And he's trying to centralize everything around his ministry and what he does. And really, I think it's definitely the day of team and not trying to be the big guy and understanding that everybody's got some gifts. And I've seen you guys do that wonderfully in your church.
Yeah, I know what you said is 100% real. And that was, Janae mentioned like early on some of the things that we kind of had to push back against. One of the first things was that, and we established preaching team early on, where it's not just one preacher every single Sunday, but we split it up where maybe for this series, Janae will preach or another one of our pastors will preach so they can hear different perspectives. And we always are trying to promote that individuals have the spotlight within their leadership, you know? And for me, I think it's an amazing blessing, because then the pressure isn't all on you. Whether it is behind the scenes, it isn't behind the scenes anyway, and it's definitely not in the front of the scenes, right? People know, like, oh, well, Alex is doing this, but actually the person I should go to for this is that person, you know? And we've even changed our internal leadership that way, where we have tried to kind of get away from the traditional org structure and work more like a grid, which is something Mark and Bernie actually kind of helped us with a few years ago. But even that has been challenging, because it's like a little countercultural, but it has brought incredible relief, greater opportunity for people to rise up and lead.
Absolutely.
Even from there, what we've seen is the people that have rised up on those higher places on the team, since it's not just, you know, top down, those have been the people that really get equipped to be able to start campuses or lead other major areas.
Yeah.
So it's been fantastic.
Totally. But Janae, you helped us with the production of our Singapore conference, The Gathering. I think it was the first time in maybe 8-10 years that we've all gotten together worldwide. And what an amazing time that was. But thank you for helping us with that. And you certainly developed a big team around you for that.
Yes. I wasn't there for the first one that was ever done, right? And actually, I've never got to be even to Presence Conference, any of those before. And we were still newer to the movement, but man, what a honor it was. And I think taking from Pastor Mark and Bernie Kelsey, like, they really had this heart to have it really this global team, right? So from everywhere. And man, I was right on board with that, but it is a challenge, but it was the most worthwhile challenge to see, bringing in people from Germany, from Australia, from Malaysia, from all over, to produce and be creative together, but like in totally different spaces, right? And so they were practicing on Zoom. Even the relationships that were built by doing that, and I think sometimes, even going back to before, sometimes when it hasn't been done, right, or hasn't been seen to have been done that way, it can be a challenge, but once people see it and taste it and get on board, and there was no way I could have done it, absolutely impossible, without different people taking roles and stepping up in leadership. And so I'm just so thankful to each and every one of the choreographers, the people that were working on this, getting to work with the production teams. And it was so beautiful to see and so exciting, because it really was a global representation.
Right.
And I'm like, that's where it's at. Look at what you've done, God.
Totally.
So
amazing. Yeah. This is a very big subject, actually. Delegation.
Yeah.
And why leaders don't do it. Sometimes it just is easier to not, take the risk and trust anybody else, but to just wear yourself out trying to do everything, which Moses was doing back in Exodus, and his father-in-law said, what you're doing is not good. He thought it was good, but sometimes what we think is good isn't. So delegation becomes the release valve for the development of people and the growth of the church.
Yeah.
And after having looking at a number of churches around the world over a long time, over the last 50 years, it would seem to me that this would be the bottleneck most commonly, that a pastor just hasn't given away an area of the church that he loves doing and is very good at doing, and he doesn't kind of see that there's anybody else there. Yeah. But we've always believed that the way you develop people is give them a job.
Yeah.
And then you can disciple them by giving them feedback on how they went. So building discipleship churches has become a really important, really important issue. And you're going to find that as a regional director more than ever with getting conferences together, like this conference coming up this week, entrusting people who haven't even done it before. Like Janae had not been to any of our conferences before. Mm-hmm. But how are you finding that, Joshua?
There is a risk factor, but also a factor of easiness, a release. In a way, I used to run everything. I mean, our church, when churches in Indonesia still 11 churches, but now growing to 24, and by the end of the year, growing to 30 churches. So we release some of the responsibility and what are the boundary we make. I think the most important is making the boundary and set the people that being delegate, they know their area of responsibility, and it's all right. And it's good in a way, so I can sleep. I can do more other important things beside doing micromanaging little things. Yeah.
It has always shocked me how powerful it is, though, that how much more is achievable if you just are prepared to release other people to do it. And like you're saying, Janae, it works like that.
It does. And sometimes I think the scary thing is like the failure point, right? Oh man, they might fail.
Right.
But like I failed many a time, right? And that's you live, you learn, you grow, you work through those. So it's one of those things like, yes, there's gonna be great successes and there may be things you fail, and then you get to walk with them, as I'm so thankful people walk with me and still give me chances when I fail. You get to do that with them too and be like, the world is still going, you know what I mean? We're going to get through this.
Yeah.
And so I think sometimes that is the fear, right? Like, okay, this, then it could all fail. But God can speak.
You don't grow without failure.
No, yeah. I mean, it's really impossible. And sometimes we like to shelter people from that.
Yeah.
But then if I look back at I've failed a lot and people were there with me journeying and still gave me opportunity. And so I get to be there with them in that.
That's fantastic.
And we get to do it together. But then there's great wins too, right? And so it's both.
Yeah.
It's both and.
Hey everyone, I believe in the local church. Ever since we started our church way back in 1980, we've been planting churches all around the world. In major cities, villages, towns, and we have seen ourselves plant churches now in over 60 nations in the earth. Last year, we planned to plant 20 churches, and we ended up planting 45. This year, we're going to plant another 42 churches. I'd like to invite you to become a partner with us in this grand plan that God has called us to, planting His magnificent church all around the world. It's not an inexpensive exercise to plant churches. It costs a lot to support pastors when they're just starting out, and their families and their structures, their circumstances, renting houses, needing a car. And in some of these places, they're very poor. And we want to help them rise up and plant great churches in their nations. You can help us by jumping over to our website, C3 Church Global, and there you will find a giving section, and you can give towards helping us plant churches all around the world. I'm praying for you that as you give, the blessing of God will rest upon your life in abundance. In Jesus' name, God bless you. So you're starting a new congregation, right? Just
that's right.
And that's like delegating a team out there.
Yep.
To go and make a new congregation.
Yep.
Tell us about that.
Yeah. Well, just on what Pastor Josh was saying in Janae, I feel like that secret ingredient is always the relationship, right? Because for us, like when you got people around you where the relationship is so pre-existing and it's strong and it's, you know, it's real, and then releasing just feels a lot more safer. Even if you know they're still got a lot to learn, even if you know they're still going to be bumps on the road, you know that that relationship will bring a greater margin of grace and opportunity and forgiveness. And, you know, and I think that for us has been a pretty big factor in being able to release and being able to delegate. Because like what you said, when you have that pre-existing relationship, then opportunity becomes a greater opportunity to disciple. Right. And you can release things and say, well, this will be the great learning lesson for him to go to that next level of leadership.
Right.
But it starts with just having really, really good connection with people, with your people, with the people on our team. The guy we're sending out there, he's been on our team for about 6 years, 7 years.
Yeah.
And yeah, he's a rad guy to hang out with. He's a good guy.
He came in as a new Archer, and he was the drummer.
Yeah, he was a drummer.
He's still is a drummer.
He still
plays on our worship team.
Yeah.
But then he wasn't on staff then.
No, he got hired for a different position and, you know, just continued to move up. And now him and his wife are headed out there and they're going to open up another campus.
So this is a campus of TC. It's not another church.
It's not a church plant. It's another campus. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
How have you found managing your campuses? Because you got one in Budapest.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a great question.
Yeah. And so, there's a number of pastors who are revisiting those decisions to start multi-site and campuses. And I think it has been a growth strategy for a lot of people, but for some, it's been a point of pain as well. So how have you managed your multi-campus?
I can see both of those perspectives.
Both, sure.
Both, absolutely. so for us, we saw a need first. We didn't have a strategy to say, hey, let's go here, and here. It was more so as the church was growing, the pain point was that people could be involved on Sunday, but not Monday through Friday. Because of the distance of the main campus or the distance of the other congregate members.
Right.
So we just said, well, that's crazy. You know, so we have to make sure that they have just as much opportunity there as someone would that lives 20 minutes from the church.
Right.
So that was kind of the launch of it, how we started to expand and create a almost like another hub for people who live in the northern part of the city or the western part of the city. And then with Budapest, it was because people who were a part of the church here that we had relationship for a long time that really leaned in to grow and learn for discipleship, they ended up moving. And they said, hey, we love TC. We still want to be a part of it online. And what about starting a connect group out here? So a lot of it happened somewhat organically, you know, but as those things happen, we try to go to God and get strategy for it and understand.
Doesn't mean there's not challenges.
No, it doesn't mean there's not challenges. And like you said, there's a ton of pain points. But
good.
I feel like the relationship has a tendency to relieve some of the pain. I feel like the more we've valued and protected those relationships and kept the relationship consistent, the pain can decrease a little bit sometimes. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So starting, selecting the people who are going to be leading a campus, what criteria have you used for that?
Oh, great question. So there's one thing that I always look for, number one, is that they've had some pretty hardcore personal death.
Okay.
Right? Like people that come to me at any time throughout their journey and say, oh my gosh, I was wrong about everything.
Right.
I can't believe how stupid I was. Now I finally see the light. I'm like, that's awesome.
Yes.
I'm like, you're ready, bro.
Well, that's
you're
self-aware.
Ready. Yeah,
self-awareness,
exactly.
Eh?
Yeah, so having people that have journeyed and made it to the other side, they didn't quit.
Yeah.
They didn't say, you know, everybody, you know, it's all everyone else's fault. But actually, I got to change. I have to get better. I need Jesus's help. That's, for me,
totally agree
number one.
Yeah.
And I would say aside from that, like little breadcrumbs of opportunity over time.
Yeah.
You know, what can you do with this? Oh, great. Okay, now let's try this. Oh, great. Okay, now let's try this. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like before you know it, they're already that guy.
Mm-hmm.
They're already that guy where they are. So it isn't even like an evaluation of, are you ready for this? Because they're already doing what they would be doing.
Yeah.
Right. And I think when we've done that, it's been rad.
Yeah, there's gold in our pews.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All we got to do is give it a chance to have a shot at something.
Yeah.
And it'll come out. And sometimes they'll fail a few times.
Yep.
But that's no reason for us to finish with them. It's part of the whole development strategy.
Yep.
How would you select leaders in your congregation and for pastoring another church, Joshua?
Yeah. Agree with Pastor Alex that the person must be teachable in what they're doing. If they are given things, tasks, they do it excellence. And also they are willing to go extra miles without, hey, pastor, like this is not my job. Like
no.
I'm anointed for this specific. No, they are willing to do extra miles. Non-pulpit ministry, they also do it. Sometimes they all just want to do pulpit ministry only.
Yeah.
But not the table, but just only the word. No, I think they're willing to be stretched, pastor. And they show their hearts, the attitudes, their spirit are beautiful. Even though they might not be skillful in one area, but as long as their attitudes want to go along, as you mentioned, I fail miserably.
Yeah.
You know? But I think that kind of openness is good because we can trust them. We don't guess like, what is this person doing? Like, make us worried, you know, sleeping at night. Like, what is this doing, you know?
Yeah.
But we really can sleep knowing this person is just like our sons and daughter. Yeah.
Yeah.
Even though we don't officially saying that's our spiritual son, we don't say that. But the attitude, I think is beautiful. Want to be corrected, want to be guided, and want to learn new things, pastor. So no problem when they are rotated, when they are moved along in many different areas. So when the time is ready, we know we have some potential.
Yeah, absolutely.
People to be sent out.
Yeah,
totally.
Yeah.
Okay, so let me just shift gears to another area. You guys have grown as almost missionaries from America coming over here. Although I know you don't see yourselves.
But
kind of
I totally get.
Yeah, but the fact that you're from America and in a foreign country.
Yeah.
Like you're on a mission, obviously.
Yeah, amen.
But I know that you feel like this is home for you as much as anywhere in the world.
Mm.
And so you've grown. Your church has grown. Mm. Give us the history of how that has happened.
So the church that we're in was, it was started as a church plant by another church in the city.
Right.
And it was started, it was sent out, and the goal of the church plant was, well, let's help them for a year plus with some resources and hopefully get them on their feet so they're self-sustaining. And that was the story of our church. And it was another guy from the U.S. He was from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. His name is Bernard Persichetti, Italian guy. And he came here and he was an actual missionary. Like he was the real deal missionary, you know, going out to the villages and, you know, meeting with people who don't want to talk to you and about faith. But he, over the time, he kind of felt called to start a church. So that's what he did. And he hired my wife and I, who were pastors in California with a Foursquare church in Southern California. And he asked us to help. He was a friend of a friend, and the church was growing, but he was kind of all alone. He didn't have anybody with him. And he, you know, just invited us out to see if we would help. And we said, okay, we'll come out for a year to do the kids ministry. At that time, I was the associate pastor. Janae was the youth pastor at our other church. So we decided to head out here, try it out. And that first year, the kids ministry grew from about 60 to 280 kids.
Yeah.
And then my job became every job that wasn't doing well for the next 10 years. So, hey, Alex, Connect groups aren't doing so good. You're the Connect group pastor. Okay, you know, missions are in the toilet. Go, you know, we got to do some missions, you know. Janae has always been really the culture behind all of our creative, all of the worship, everything in our church that way from the very beginning, since we got here, I mean, in 2011. And we just saw it continue to grow exponentially. Right. You know, every year we even though we didn't know we were going to be here for a long term, it's hard to leave when you're just like, God, you have so much vision for what's happening, and God is just expanding.
Yeah.
And then in 2018, he decided, the previous senior pastor, he decided that he was ready to retire, step down, and go back to the U.S. and repatriate. And that's when they talked to us. Should I tell them about the other part of the story?
Well, I mean, you could, but I feel like we're looking at each other like, where are we going to go with this? But I feel like when we were asked to come over, the lead pastor, whom I love both of them so much, he saw the city, and I think he saw this need, and he wanted the kids to love church.
Yeah.
He wanted them to really. So he saw there weren't a lot of maybe kids churches where the kids were just like, this is awesome.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And so that was one thing that he saw. He was kind of a visionary in that. Even though we're this English speaking church, but he didn't want the kids church to get the last of everything and like the broken crayons, you know what I mean? And so he was like, I want them to be like, I want this. So he had us come over. And then I think from there was a lot of things speaking to the before, like these things that people are like, no, that hasn't been done, or you can't do that, or that won't work. We've tried something like that. But there's a lot of factors in that, right? Sometimes God shows you something, but it's not the time.
Right.
But people try to make it the time, and then it doesn't work because he's like, I showed you that so you could prepare, but it's not the time, right?
Right.
And so there's different things like that. And I think as we slowly started to the whole team, and there was Indonesians on slowly on staff, there was more people, there was us, there was Pastor Bernard, really to take the time and say, what does this city like need?
Right.
We want to actually be
That's a
good
great
change,
to
right? Yeah. Like, we don't have to do it. That church down there, if they do it like that, that's amazing. And we can champion that, but it doesn't mean we have to do that same thing, right? And it's okay. Hmm. And even if it hasn't been done before, God may be saying, but now I want it to be done this way. And so bit by bit, I think we kept asking that. And one of the big things I think it's grown is just what we've tried to do. Another thing that we saw a big hole in, like it wasn't there, is just a place to be vulnerable and be safe.
Yeah.
Okay.
That people weren't going to talk about you.
Right.
At church because you wore that or you were smoking down the street or they saw you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like there's so many broken people. And so I think that was a big part of the growth.
And that was like, I had at least two pastors tell me early on, you can't do that.
Right.
They're like, you can't do that. You're paint this ideal vision where people can talk about their issues. And,
yes.
And he's like that. Nope. The people in Jakarta will never be vulnerable and will never talk about their private issues. That will never happen. And I remember feeling a little bit discouraged, but also feeling a little bit like, okay, we'll see, buddy. And we never made a big banner that said, hey, this is a church of vulnerability. It was like just little fruit. You know what I mean? Just little fruit one at a time to change people's minds, where it's like, oh, well, that guy just gave a testimony where he talked about his marriage failing. Oh, my gosh. You know, and just little by little, people start to trust over time and say, wow, maybe they're serious. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's okay to be honest. Maybe it's okay to come here and not feel the pressure and not feel the, you know. And I think that just little by little,
for sure,
that ended up metastasizing, just growing exponentially.
But I think it's like from the moment people come in, right? So you want them to feel comfortable no matter what, right? What they did the night before, because some people come in, you know, looking rough, like they were out really late, right? Or you know their story. And
because it's been in the news.
It's because we do have, you know, people like
it's
that
so
too.
It's so important that people feel like they can come into a judgment-free environment.
and just be, and then see it modeled, I think, too, by other people.
Yes.
The people, the pastors being vulnerable.
Yes.
And people hearing their stories and not being completely shocked, like, oh my goodness, right? And being like, I still love you. Hey, like, let's do, you know. And so I think it's all those things. But I honestly think those are some of the biggest reasons why we've grown, because we saw those things. And as God showed us steps, instead of being fearful and being like, well, you know.
Isn't that amazing? It's such a big thing that people feel like they've got to be perfect to be a Christian.
Mm.
Like there's no failures, there's no problems, and everything's just fine.
Yeah.
When actually most of us are struggling in all kinds of areas.
Yeah.
Throughout our whole life.
For sure.
It's like the struggle never goes away.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, living in faith is not denying that you got a problem, but actually making sure you're living above it and it's not dragging you down into a drowning situation where you feel like, oh, I can't do it anymore. But you actually live by faith in that victory that Christ has won for us spite of the circumstances.
Mm. Yep.
There's that that Old Testament prophet who said, though the fig tree doesn't blossom, and the fig, you know, the stalls have no herd in them.
Yeah.
I will rejoice in the Lord. I'm going to stay joyful. So the idea of being vulnerable doesn't have to be depressing.
Yeah.
No.
It can be a joyful environment as well.
Yep. And a place to start. It's like,
I think that's what we really hit on. Like, it was like exciting because it was like, okay, but now that we know, now that we're here, that means that we can go past it. You know what I mean?
Yes.
It's like, okay, here it is. And I feel like that brings what is crazy is you think, oh, I'm going to hide all this. I'm not going to be honest about my issues because I don't want to get I don't want to get in the way of the mission of God.
Yes.
But actually the mission of God starts when you can finally be real and be like, man, I'm so messed up. Jesus is healing me. Look what he's doing. Now I'm even more galvanized to do what he's called me to do.
Amazing.
And that changes the script a little bit, I think.
And really he asked us to do those things, right? As we went to him.
Yeah.
And he'll lead the way in wherever the place, whatever city, you know
That's
what I
incredible.
Mean? And whatever you ask him. And then when he says it,
whatever
it's like stepping out in it, right? So really the story here or anywhere, it's really not us. It's really, or something that we did so cool, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or so was so fantastic.
Yeah.
But it really was God. What does this look like? This is the city that you have us in to love these people. So.
It's always surprised me in scripture how unvarnished the lives of the heroes are.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty well every single hero in the scripture has a moment or a limp throughout their whole life. Or even Jesus.
Yeah.
They talk of him in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he's saying, Lord, I don't want to do this.
Yeah.
Let the cup pass. I just don't want to go through the pain.
Yeah.
And so it's unbelievable how vulnerable and real.
Yes.
Even the Bible heroes from Moses all the way through to Peter. Mm-hmm. Anyway, guys, that's been fantastic chatting with you. Thanks, Joshua, our regional director for Indonesia. We're so happy to have you on board, sir.
Thank you.
And Alex and Janae, such a delight to see you again. And thanks so much for sharing with us today. God bless you, everybody. Make sure you hit subscribe. Leave a comment and share this with somebody who you know that could need it. And we'll look forward to talking again with you soon. Hey, thanks so much for joining us. If you're a pastor or a leader, we'd love to connect with you throughout the year, around the world, at our regional gatherings. Are a great opportunity for pastors to come and discover who we are as a movement. Or if you simply want to come and be refreshed and blessed, you're more than welcome. If you're interested, reach out at hello@c3churchglobal.com. That's hello@c3churchglobal.com. See you again soon.